Hey, it's Edgar.
Hi, it's Olivia.
And welcome to the Minority Report podcast. This week, impeachment hearings. Okay, big stuff. Big stuff.
Impeachment hearing week. Yes. Public testimony.
Yes, yes. So we are recording on a Friday. We waited. Sorry, but we had to wait because we always miss things because we record too early in the week.
We had to get through day two.
Yes, the impeachment inquiry, the hearings, it's happening. It's here, and I can't believe it. Like, I truly can't believe that it's actually happening.
It's wild.
It's wild stuff. It really is. And so we're going to cover, that's really what this episode is. We'll cover some, like, auxiliary stories that are happening around while all this is going on. But this is a politics-heavy episode.
Yep.
We're going to go straight into this.
It's all U.S. politics. Yes. All the time.
All the time. Yes. And we know, hey, we know Disney Plus is happening, but guess what? Life's busy, man.
We out here.
We out here.
And mostly by out here, we in the office.
I'm trying to watch The Mandalorian, but work ain't letting me do that.
Oh, my God.
I come home, I need to sleep. You know what I mean?
For real. I'm like, once I'm home, I'm like, I can't. Don't talk to me. Don't look at me.
Don't look at me.
I'm tired of screens. Yes. I like need to stop. I can't. I'm sleeping. I can't watch a TV.
I'm sleeping. But hopefully soon I'll be able to watch The Mandalorian because apparently it's really good. So I'm very excited.
I'm hyped for it. Everybody at my office is just like, it's pretty good.
I'm very hyped for Star Wars season.
Yes.
Can I just say, because December's coming up, and December all of a sudden is now Star Wars season apparently.
Which, like, I'm into.
I know, which is so weird. But isn't it to me. Like, I'm like, it's like the polar bear in Christmas. Like, now I'm seeing Darth Vader associated with Christmas. It's so weird. But anyways, let's get into this. The public hearings. So this is going to be an ongoing process, but we're covering the first 2 days.
Yep. Day one was Wednesday. Day two was today, Friday. Yep.
Friday. Okay, let's do it. Day one. What happened?
All right. So day one, first day of the hearings, they call forward two witnesses. One was Ambassador Taylor, who's the highest ranking ambassador for the high ranking ambassador for the UK, for the Ukraine.
For the UK.
For the UK. No, for the Ukraine. And George Kent from the State Department. So they actually were testifying under subpoena. They had to be there legally.
Yes.
And it's a lot of what we've heard before. Testimony-wise, but some new information did come about.
Yes.
Which was kind of like the big takeaway from day one.
Yes. That was the big, like, story everyone was running with, yes, saying, like, this is very important.
The big, big story was that, according to Taylor, one of his staffers was in a restaurant in Kyiv, which is apparently the Ukrainian pronunciation of Kiev, which I didn't know. Okay. Kyiv.
Yes.
Gordon Sondland, who is the Secretary of State, right?
Yes.
Yes. Secretary of State.
No. European Union Ambassador. Sorry.
European Union Ambassador. Excuse me.
It's been a week, y'all.
It's been a week, y'all. I also can't keep track of... Oh, that's right. He's not Secretary of State. Yeah, I'm an idiot.
Do you like how I just went, yes. Like, I didn't even think, yo. I just went with it. Anyways.
But according to Taylor, one of his staffers was in a restaurant with Gordon Sondland following a meeting with the Ukrainian president, Volodymyr Zelensky, when he overheard a call between Sondland and Trump, in which Trump asked Sondland the status of the investigation.
Yes. Okay, so before
and that was like the juicy.
Yes, that's perfect. Before we continue, actually, I wrote this down because, so you might hear some papers. you might hear some paper. Also, it's a cold season, so we might be coughing. Anyways.
Excuse me.
Yes, so I wrote this down, and I think this is interesting to go through before we get into what this new alleged phone call could mean. So Adam Schiff, who is the Intelligence Committee chair, who's pretty much the person who is leading this impeachment inquiry.
He's the one who called for it, essentially. Yes.
So he says the impeachment inquiry is looking into these four specific questions. Number one, did Trump? Okay, hold on. Sorry, I can't read my own handwriting. Did Trump solicit foreign help for the election?
Yes.
Number two, did Trump agree to I cannot read my own handwriting today. I am so sorry. Did Trump agree to meet in condition of Ukraine launching an investigation?
Also, yes.
Did Ukraine have reason to believe military aid was going to be withheld if they did not meet the condition of launching an investigation?
I mean, yeah.
And number three, or number four, wow. We're really off today. Sorry, y'all. Number four, has there been a cover-up? Simply put, has there been a cover-up?
The Trump administration isn't smart enough for that.
So, with all that being said, when we hear that there's this second phone call, which is adding more fuel to the fire. And now, if you remember, the reason we're in this whole mess was because Donald Trump had a phone call with the president of the Ukraine where he tried to set up some sort of quid pro quo where if Ukraine would investigate his political opponent, Joe Biden, and his son, and their
works for an Ukrainian company,
right, and their dealings in the Ukraine, he would provide them with military aid, which is something that Ukraine badly needs. They are one of our allies, and they're going up against one of the biggest foes, Russia. So with all that being said, we hear this about the second phone call. Alarm bells. Ring, ring, ring. What's going on here? The evidence is very damning. However, Republicans are spinning it another way.
They are latching onto the fact that this is sort of quote unquote hearsay from Ambassador Taylor because it's not something he directly heard.
Yes.
It was something that one of his staffers heard and came to him with.
Right.
So Republicans are trying to spin this like, oh, but you don't know for sure, right?
Yes, that's really the fascinating thing about this first day is, first off, we didn't really know what to expect. We know that the Trump administration has blocked a lot of key witnesses. We didn't really know what the Democrats were trying to do. These were people who were subpoenaed, who had to appear. And, you know, we didn't know what tactics the Republicans would undergo to sort of try to block all of this or to obscure things. But now we sort of get this clear picture where Democrats are trying to paint a picture of a corrupt administration who's abusing their power, Donald Trump in particular, in specifics, abusing his power of the executive branch to influence the election, to look into his political opponents. Whereas Republicans are sort of seeing this as nothing truly happened, so what's the big deal? So their big thing is, did Ukraine get the military aid after all? And the answer is yes, they did. So does it matter? And that's sort of the big question here. Donald Trump tried to do something corrupt. He tried to do something illegal, but didn't quite succeed. But should it matter? And then, of course, you could argue, isn't attempted murder against the law a crime?
That was a big point from.
How do you feel about all that?
It was a big point from Julian Castro. He was like, "Is an attempted murder a crime? Is an attempted robbery a crime? So shouldn't attempted bribery be a crime?"
Makes sense, yo.
I'm with him. I mean, honestly, like, just because the intention was there, right? Like, just because just because you literally couldn't execute. And like, that's another big point that Democrats tried to bring up is that 48 hours after there was sort of knowledge of a whistleblower, the Trump administration released the aid. So that's kind of that's been their counter argument.
Which is a pretty dang good counter argument.
Yes. Yeah,
what does that tell
you? They found out and then they released the aid.
Yeah. They're like,
that shit's fucked up.
They're like, oh fuck. Like, oh shit. What do we do? Like, release the aid. It'll make them look bad. And then we've also, like, before we even started the impeachment inquiry and the hearings, we started hearing this argument of, so what? You know, yeah. So what? Like, presidents can do this kind of shit. So what?
Yeah. Sondland was famously quoted saying, like, this happens in U.S. foreign policy all the time. And it's like, no.
No, it doesn't.
Fuck, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't. What you mean? Yeah, very fascinating stuff day one.
Yeah, day one was crazy. The Republicans also tried to repeatedly bring up that Taylor and Kent are both sort of secondhand witnesses.
Yes.
They're there for fact witnesses, but they haven't actually directly witnessed anything. But that is because the Trump administration has not allowed anyone who was directly involved to testify.
Yes.
And, you know, they kind of like Taylor and Kent kept it very, you know, like middle of the ground. They didn't play sides, but there were moments where they were like, well, yeah, we're what you've got because the Trump administration
will not allow
anyone who's directly involved to testify.
That this is really fascinating. And before we get to day two, it's important to bring up this idea that Democrats are going to try to paint this picture without the main key, like, star witnesses. And does this hurt the impeachment process? I don't know. There are a lot of arguments, people saying day one actually was kind of a big loss for Democrats because even though the evidence seems pretty damning, and even though these two gentlemen are high officials in government and they are well respected, they still don't have direct evidence against the president. So it's, you know, they're going to try to paint this picture without this direct evidence, and Republicans will be able to use that lack of direct evidence to sort of undermine the whole process. And one of the things that Republicans were saying were, hey, sure, we'll look into this. We'll go along with your impeachment inquiry. However, before we impeach a president, shouldn't we have direct evidence? Which is, on its face, yes, of course, but also...
But they're directly impeding that.
Exactly. That is what's so infuriating and so frustrating
here. It's fucked up.
It's really fucked up. Like, when you really think about it, it's super fucked up. Which leads us to day two, where things got even more fucked up and things blew up. Possible witness intimidation? I don't know. Let's get into it. So day two was really all about witness former ambassador to the Ukraine, Marie Yovanovitch. Did I get that right? I got that wrong.
You
dang,
got it.
I'm good. Yovanovitch. So she provided this. So her opening statement, she provided this very striking view and look into the current State Department under the Trump administration. She's talking about pretty alarming and scary things, but she's mostly talking about a department that has no faith in its own leadership. And that is a pretty striking and crazy thing to say. Now, I should note that Marie, she is a over 30-year veteran of the government. She is highly respected, so much so that Republicans during the hearing actually weren't trying to attack her directly because they thought it would make them look bad. Of course,
which, like, it would.
But of course, Donald Trump did not follow that.
Because Donald Trump is Donald Trump. Yes. He is an anomaly in himself.
So her opening statements were quite long. And during those opening statements, Donald Trump decided to live respond and to tweet. And this,
I hate that man so much.
This has really blown things up. So let me read what he wrote. Everywhere Marie Yovanovitch went turned bad. She started off in Somalia. How did that go? Question mark. Then fast forward to Ukraine, where the new Ukrainian president spoke unfavorably about her in my second phone call with him. It is a U.S. president's absolute right to appoint ambassadors. That's something we'll bring up in a little bit, which Marie also agrees with. You call it serving at the pleasure of the president. The U.S. now has a very strong, powerful foreign policy, much different than preceding administrations. It is called, quite simply, America First. With all of that, however, I have done far more for Ukraine than So, with those two tweets, tweeted right as she was speaking, right as she was ending her opening statement, Schiff actually read that out loud to her and said, how do you feel about it? And she said, I feel intimidated. Democrats will try to use this as a way to prove that Donald Trump is tampering with witnesses and intimidating witnesses. So what we essentially saw was in real time, an article of impeachment being lobbied against the president, which is intimidation of a witness, which is wild shit.
So
what?
And all over Twitter.
All over Twitter. Now,
which is, I don't know what the most wild part of this
insanity.
Is.
Insanity. Absolutely. Totally insane. And Republicans were out here saying stuff like, that doesn't count as witness intimidation.
Then what counts?
And a lot of experts are actually kind of split on it. Some say yes, some say no. But it's not good. Either way, it's not good.
It's bad.
Like, that should not be happening. A president should not be attacking a person who's giving a statement. Like, that makes no sense. Like, it just boggles my mind. And that she's like, yeah, I do feel intimidated. I mean, can you blame her?
Yeah.
The president of the United States
is directly attacking you.
Smearing her. And that, you know, it was really interesting that a lot of Republicans there were taken aback by those statements, yet weren't doing anything about it. This was so bad that even Fox News, who was reading the tweets on air, they said the president went too far. Like, it is still so fresh, and this just happened today. We really don't know how to process this. This is absolutely wild stuff. But one thing that I kept seeing that I totally agree with, and I think it's something that's very interesting, is this idea that innocent people don't smear or intimidate witnesses.
I mean, yeah.
Why would, like, if there really nothing happened, then why? Why is he doing this? So Marie came out and said that she feels that her position, that she was removed from her position because she was a blocker in the president's attempt to influence Ukraine and to get to Ukraine to investigate Biden. And that's, you know, something that frankly I think seems very plausible at this point, especially after all
the Twitter shitstorm,
but all the evidence pointing towards it. Now, of course, Republicans will say, again, where is the direct evidence? Marie doesn't have any firsthand.
Where's the real? Yeah,
exactly. Which, you know,
she was gone before any of this happened.
Exactly. And also, like, and I hate it because, like, you know, if I'm trying to think like a Republican, a strategist, yes, that is the tactic I would take. I would say, but where's the real evidence? But where's the real evidence? But to me, it's like, what does it matter at this point? You know? Anyways, yeah, we're just shaking our heads now. So day two really was all about that particular moment and things exploded. However, that wasn't the only thing that happened in day two. We actually had something major happen. Roger Stone.
It's wild that like major events are smoke screens for other major events. Yes. I'm like,
what's going on here?
What's going on?
So Roger Stone, who we've talked extensively on this show, you can go listen to our episodes on him. He was a close Trump advisor, someone who is just super scummy, like someone who's just absolutely terrible.
Oh, the worst.
He was just found guilty for lying to Congress and colluding with WikiLeaks on seven counts. I won't read all the counts that he was found guilty in. But that is major news. That is huge. Donald Trump was absolutely furious. He said there's a double standard. Why isn't Comey being investigated? Why isn't Mueller being investigated? Why did Roger Stone get this ruling? Roger Stone will report to the court on February 1st to be sentenced. That is huge news.
Dang, dude.
Damn.
Damn.
Things aren't looking good for Trump right now. That's
things are
not
looking
good.
Really bad for Trump.
But
I mean, all in all, even like no matter who, quote unquote, wins impeachment day to day, whether it's like Democrats or Republicans.
Right. Which is bullshit, by the way. That's a weird way to look at it.
It's a weird way to look at it. But like an impeachment scandal for a president, not great. Going into election year, also not great.
Yep.
Also, another person from, you know, your close circle being like, there have been multiple people who have now been charged.
This is not looking good. This is not looking good. Paul Manafort earlier this year, like, this is not looking for
it's
Trump.
It's not great.
Yeah, that's not good. That's not good. However, we should still point out, not to get everyone's hopes up, but the impeachment process, it's still early on. We don't know how fast they're going to go with this. We know it's for there's going to be more in the upcoming weeks, but we're about to reach the holiday season. And
you
the holidays, which means there's not going to be a lot of stuff going on in the Capitol. However, what happens from here on is going to be very, very interesting to see. And we're going to make sure to cover it, to stay on top of it. But with all that being said, the first 2 days have happened. How do you feel? What's going through your mind?
I mean, like, I'm I'm just here for the ride, honestly. I don't know if anything's going to come of it. I am a very healthily skeptical.
Right.
But I'm here for the ride, man. I love the drama.
Yeah.
It's like a weird way to look at things that affect the real world.
Right.
So like, I'm not trying to spin this as like, this is a fun alternative to a reality show.
But in a way, no.
But it's actually something
a Republican said, which was fascinating during day one's hearing, that said that this is all a drama. This is all a farce.
I mean,
in a weird way, he's kind of right.
But like, not for the reasons that I think he says, because he's just like, Trump is not implicated. And it's like, no, it's actually just kind of the circus that's going on around it.
Yes.
But like,
exactly.
Trump defo guilty.
100. Look, just, I'm going to go on a limb. I'm going to go out on a limb here, y'all. Trump guilty. Guilty AF.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, show.
I feel the same way as you. I'm definitely still holding on some healthy skepticism. I feel like a lot of people are getting very excited. One of the big news stories leading up to this was the explosion of Trump impeachment podcast, which I thought was really funny.
Oh my God, Rudy Giuliani started an impeachment podcast, which is wild.
This is the wildest timeline. Rudy
fucking Giuliani started an impeachment podcast to tell his side of the story, because Rudy Giuliani, for those of you who don't remember, is a major player in the impeachment panel.
I know, it's so dumb, it's so stupid. I cannot believe this. What in the world? But with all that being said, we've impeached two presidents, Bill Clinton and Andrew Johnson. However, we've never removed any of them. The one who would have been removed, Nixon, quit before that could even happen. But that, you know, if we were to get to that point, it would be the first time in history that it happens. You know, things are still, Democrats hold a majority. It's still looking like he will get impeached if, you know, things continue to go the way that they're going. But
you need a Senate majority in order to remove a president from office. And like, let's be real, the GOP has no goddamn backbone.
Exactly. By the way, the number of Republicans that would have to defect from their party for that to happen is 20. So just to put that in perspective.
It's not going to happen.
Unless the evidence is so staggering that it cannot be ignored and the American Republic asks for it. Now, that is a possibility. Looking at it now, the numbers show that even after these 2 days and even after day one, which a lot of people were saying was quote-unquote a loss for Democrats, the majority of the American public still supports impeaching Donald Trump. And the more I think about it, I don't think these hearings will do anything to sort of reduce that number. If anything, I feel like it's only going to go up because more and more mounting evidence is coming out.
Oh, yeah. An impeachment for a president, bad news bears for their approval rating.
You know, and
all of the ones that have happened in the past have happened in the second term. So, like, this is the first time we've seen it in the first term.
Yeah, this is crazy, y'all. This is, like, this is history. We really don't know what's going to happen here. And whatever does happen will go down in history books. And it's going to be crazy to see where we go. And even if he does not get removed from office, he will be an impeached president going into the election. And we briefly talked about this in a previous episode, but that's a big deal. That is a huge thing. We're going to have a president who's impeached running for office. That's wild shit.
That's some wild ass shit.
Wow. Wow. With the way things go and Russian hackers, we may reelect him. I don't know.
Can you imagine?
Oh my goodness. I don't know. Like, I don't know.
I don't know, dude.
I don't know. But we'll see. We'll see. As we wrap up the show, it's a little bit of a short one this week. You're welcome. As we wrap up the show, predictions. What do you think is going to happen with this impeachment process?
Okay, so here's what I hope. Like, somebody major has to testify because we don't know how long this is going to go.
Right.
So there's still the possibility of people being subpoenaed. There's still the possibility of new information coming out.
Right.
So I hope just like a bombshell is dropped.
Right.
And somebody like a Stephen Miller or a Mike Pompeo has to come and testify.
Right.
And then you know they're going to perjure themselves. And then it comes out that they perjured themselves.
Oh my God.
Like,
stranger things have happened. Roger Stone, for example. Wow.
So like, that's kind of my prediction.
That That would be awesome. That would be awesome.
That would be wild, right?
That would be awesome. Yeah, my gut, honestly, I'm being honest. My gut says I think Democrats are going to pull it off and they're going to impeach him. However, I don't think he will be removed.
I don't think so either.
But I think that will be a big point for the 2020 election.
I mean, yeah, it would be
like, how major. Do you in good conscience vote in a president who's been impeached? I mean, there are people who will do it.
I mean, Trump's base will do it.
Trump's
base will do it. They'll be like,
but think about the swing.
Because think about it. They're going to be like, they wrongfully impeach the president.
Oh yes. It may galvanize them. And we talked about that too. You know, some Democrats actually feel we shouldn't impeach Trump because if we do, we may ruin our chances in 2020 because his base will be galvanized. That's a possibility. But again, what about, I'm thinking about the swing voters in Ohio who could go either way. And they're like, I mean, you know, maybe Bernie or Joe Biden or Elizabeth Warren, who hasn't been impeached, or Donald Trump, who has. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's going to be an interesting decision right there.
For sure.
I don't know. That's fascinating, especially with how the Democratic election process is being shaken up. Bloomberg might be entering.
Oh, God.
He's preparing to enter.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
We don't need another one. We need to whittle the field down.
I know.
Needs to become less people.
We need to look. We just all need to feel the burn and get going. You know what I'm saying?
You know, I'm there. I'm with you.
JK. I'll vote for anybody. I will literally vote for anybody. I've said it and I'll say it again.
I mean, yeah, we've said it so many times, yes. And I've repeated this point ad nauseum. Yes. But like, can we just get it down to three fucking people, and then I'll do all the research. I'll like canvas. I'll do all the shit.
Yes. And even if
the person that I'm going for doesn't win,
I'm voting.
I will vote and I will canvass and I'll phone bank for whoever the fuck the nominee is.
You heard it here first. We're in it to win it. Does not matter who. But I feel the burn.
Yeah.
Just saying. For now. I don't know. I'm open.
I'm open to anyone who's not Trump, but I'm with you. I think like Bernie's my lead.
Right now.
Bernie's my dude.
If I had to pick right now, I would say Bernie. But like I said, really doesn't matter who. We will vote for that person against Donald Trump. All right. With that being said, I think we can wrap up our show. It's been interesting. This first week of impeachment hearings has been fascinating to watch, and it's going to be fascinating to see where our country goes. This is historic stuff. This is major stuff. And it's crazy that it's just sort of happening. Like, it's just out there happening. Like, I'm going on my work day doing my normal stuff, and like, I look down at my phone, I'm like, oh yeah, we're impeaching like our president right now. What the fuck? Like, that's so wild.
Life goes on.
I'm trying to think, like, I mean, technically I was alive, you know, I could remember I was alive for the Bill Clinton impeachment.
Yeah, but we were so young.
But you know what? Even then, if I'm being honest, I had a sense of it. Because I remember like adults watching TV a lot more. I remember the
Discord
news.
Happening.
There was like way more news out there, you know?
No, I definitely remember,
like,
but it was
there's
like
something going on.
I don't know, but I feel like at least, I don't know if you feel this way, but I feel like people in our generation kind of grew up with that as like a joke. It became like a line of rap songs.
It
became it
did.
Like this thing.
Oh no, it definitely like, did, for sure.
Yeah, it just became this thing that was like funny.
Yes, for sure. For sure.
I don't know if this is going to become a thing that's funny.
No, but
but that might just be because like I'm an adult and I'm aware of it now.
Exactly. But no, with that being said, you know, good point. I wonder how kids are taking it now. You know, I wonder how they view this, how they're seeing this crazy news in the background. One podcast that we listen to that we absolutely adore and hope everyone listens to, The Daily by the New York Times, they actually had an episode where a young kid became fascinated and obsessed with the impeachment process and actually got to go to the New York Times and talk to reporters and talk all about it. And the little kid had a lot of questions about what's going on. And that kind of made me feel good because I'm like, look, you know, these kids, they care. You know, they're in this.
These kids are out here. I mean, I feel like each generation gets more involved in the last and like more politically.
Probably.
You know,
yeah.
You know, interesting. More politically savvy. Yep. And it's very in. Or at least, like, it's very interesting for us because I feel like with us growing up, you saw politics happening and, like, you might care.
Yeah.
But the information wasn't as readily – it was super readily available. Don't get me wrong. But it wasn't nearly as readily available as it is now where it's just, right. like, here's what's happening and here's – five different news outlets, all with different political leanings, who will tell you the implications of everything in right. different ways.
Right.
So right. if, you know,
it's much more out there.
Exactly. It's much more out there.
Yeah. Interesting stuff. Maybe we'll do an episode on that. Let's go ask some kids.
let's go talk to the youth.
Let's go talk to the kids. Let's be like, yo, get off the TikTok. We need to talk. We're going to start a TikTok.
Edgar, this is not the way to make relatable content for teens.
Okay, look, everyone follow our TikTok at the Minority Report. Just kidding. We do not have a TikTok. All right. With that being said, that is our episode for the week. If you enjoy our show, and we hope that you do, please share it with your friends and family. I think that is the best way to get our show out there, because we're grassroots. We're of the people, for the people.
Word of mouth, baby.
Word of mouth, baby. If you're a person of color who likes hearing people of color talk about politics, we're here for you. That's us, man.
And culture.
And culture.
We That's promise true. The next time
Yeah,
we
we'll
record,
get some Disney Plus up
we'll,
in here.
We'll have watched The Mandalorian.
Yeah, we promise The Mandalorian. Next episode, you
Although,
will get The Mandalorian.
No, actually, I'm not going to promise, because I might just get Disney Plus and be like, that's a raven. That's what I'm doing.
That's true. I might just be watching Even Stevens
Ooh,
for the rest of my life.
Yes.
Anyways. All right. That is our episode. Please share it with your friends and family. That is the best way to get it across. And if you happen to listen to us on Apple Podcasts, leave us a review. It means a lot to us. All right. We will talk to you next time. Bye.
Bye.